for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is two of toots of the Wednesday morning service of December the 30th, 1987, at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's Midwinter Family Camp Meeting at Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is the conclusion of the morning service with Jack Harris teaching.
I had been lifted from the Ardennes, the Battle of the Bulge, to you. I was lifted from another place and brought to the Battle of the Bulge with my unit to stop the spread of the front. They was running over them rookies. Yeah, that was there, and so they wanted to bring in some seasoned troops to see if we could stop the spread. So they called us in. We came in, stopped their line immediately, and then began to push them back. And they let us do that. It was on the 16th of December, 1944. And then on the 26th of December, they lifted us out. And we were on our way to, on a mission then over in the, deep into Germany, and I think the Elbe River, well, was going to blow the bridge. It's on one of the main thoroughfares. And on the way there, our plane got shot down, and we had to abandon ship, so to speak. We abandoned the aircraft. We didn't know where we were. We figured we were over Germany. We know we're behind enemy lines. We ain't got no friends in this area. And it was there on the 26th day of December that I got all of these wounds, and I lay in that cellar for the next 74 hours, which would bring us to about today, I guess. I never held out much hope for survival, because I sure didn't look like a survivor. Hallelujah. but the Lord was with me. But I had some prophecies over me from my youth, it was prophesied over me when I was, that least boy there. But I still had to crawl. I didn't walk up steps to get in the church. I crawled up them. It was prophesied over me that I would be a minister, a preacher, and I'd preach all over the world. I was prophesied a great ministry at that age. And then the prophecy was renewed several times during my growing up years. I didn't ask for that. It really wasn't what I wanted. But when I lay in that old cellar over there in Germany, I was ready to settle for it. I may not be very tough, because I tell you, I got ready to settle for that. And then when I was sick back here in the first part of the year, I got ready to settle for... I told the Lord, it don't make me a lot of difference, I don't think, but if you do raise me up, I'm going to make you a better disciple. And I'm shaming myself. I'm going to make you a better disciple here without you asking me to. I'm going to make you a promise. If you do get me back on my feet again, and I can feel good again, I'm just going to be a better disciple than I've been. I'm shaming myself, Lord. And the Lord just, he was kind of like Abraham was. He just stayed silent. He didn't say nothing, just let me commit myself there. Hallelujah. Now I got to do it. Praise the Lord. But the prophecies came. I'll tell you, my grandmother was a prayer warrior. Well, my mother was too, but my grandmother was one of the greatest prayer warriors I know, and one of the greatest women of faith that I ever knew. And she wouldn't, she just wouldn't accept that I was, they sent a telegram saying I was killed in action. Now, my folks thought I was dead for about 6 months. All but Grandma. Grandma wouldn't accept it. She said, "He's not dead." Said, "The Lord made some promises, and they haven't been fulfilled. He'll come in. We'll see." And then when they found out where it was, they got a telegram, you know, he's, you know, you can batch eight, but he's alive. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, this is a big God we serve.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, yes. And in all of the projections that you have over you, you ought to be kindly walking toward them. You have the promise, walk into it. That's all you have is a promise. You have to walk into it. So you could come up here and I could prophesy you an apostle in the making, or prophesy you all kinds of good ministry, and it might be true. I mean, I might get a real rhema word, but if you walk away from it and won't let it happen to you, it won't ever happen to you. And that don't mean I'm a false prophet. It just simply means you're a rebel. And I don't want to take the fall for you. Hallelujah. You know that? Do you know that's the truth?
Amen.
Yes, sir. God prophesies and sets you in divine order. You gotta stay in that order. And, you know, nobody is a law unto himself. The Bible said all the ways of man's right in his own eyes. You can talk yourself into thinking that you're right. But you've got to stay in divine order. It's not within man to direct himself, his own steps. You know what you can do? Man can't lead himself. He needs a leader. You can take 25 men that don't know each other, all of them from different backgrounds, put them in an airplane, fly them over a jungle and drop them, parachute, and come back in 30 days, and they'll be a little army. They'll have a leader. And they'll have certain order. They'll have quite a bit of order down through there. They'll have leadership and chain of leadership. Without it, and they won't have had an election. One of them 25 men will just migrate to the top. And everybody will know it. And he'll be the undisputed leader, and it never has been voiced. But they won't do nothing without getting his approval. He's never been elected. No script of paper written on it. It's never even been vocalized. But he's the leader. Well, what does that prove? That man has to have leadership. We have to follow leadership. We have to go through the right change of command and so on. All right, so then there was another centurion that was commended, was the one at the cross in Mark. Chapter 15 and verse 39, when Jesus cried and gave over his spirit to the law, to the Father, the centurion at the cross cried out and said, "Surely this is the Son of God." Hallelujah. So he tells Timothy to be a good son, make a good soldier, boy. And then he tells him, in the fifth verse, about if a man strive for masteries, he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. All right, he's talking about an athlete here. An athlete. Any of you remember Miss America was crowned Miss America here several years ago? It's been several years back now. And one of the requirements to enter the contest for the Miss America contest was that you had to be single, not married, never married. And this girl won. She won it through all the judges, all the contests. But after she won it, it was discovered that she was secretly married. And she had to forfeit the crown. We had one of those long marathon runners not long ago, a year or two ago, wasn't it, that won that race or claimed to have won it, and they later found out she didn't start at starting point or something. They disqualified her. All right, now, this is better than it seems, because I'm not talking about running races and jumping fences. I'm talking about living for God and walking in order, in divine order. He said, all right, now, if a man strive for masteries, well, tell me what's more mastery than Zion. If he strives to come to Zion, where he can have pastures that'll feed him after the Lord's heart, and if he says, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. If you just take a notion you're going to Zion, try to go outside of divine order, you can't never be crowned in Zion. You have to go with a body. It has to be a body. God is focusing his attention on a body. Each local body is a body of Christ. And each person is a body of Christ. And then and each body is a body, and then all of them combined is a universal body of Christ. And unless you can fit into that somewhere, you can't come to Zion. You can't enter into the contest because you just simply don't qualify. You have to strive lawfully. You have to keep your priorities right. You have to observe principles. You can't just be wild roaring like some of that we talked about last night. We need, oh, how we need to be taught divine order from zero to zenith. Hallelujah. And that's what I said. I'd like to have a group of people and just teach them. It'd take, oh, give me a year, and I'll teach them divine order if they'd never walk out of it. Hallelujah. And they'd know divine order when they see it. But goodness, we're ever-changing congregations, you know, some moving, some coming, some going, and you always having to go back and bring up. I'm just beginning to, I think I'm going, if the Lord permits me, I'm going to begin a two-night-a-week study, seminar style, at the church in Bagville in January, probably the first week. And I'll teach on Tuesday and Wednesday night. We'll do it down the fellowship hall around the table so they can bring their pads and take notes. And I'm going to teach on prophecy, because prophecy is the most prevalent thing in the church today when you operate in the gifts. I'm going to entitle the lesson, Prophecy in the Church as Relates to Divine Order. And I'm going to teach it from the bottom to as far as my revelation extends. And you see, because you must, we need to know this badly, because see, when you use, the nine gifts. Well, you can't prophesy without using some of the other gifts. And all, Paul said, can prophesy. But when you prophesy, you're using other gifts too. That's the way you express the other gift. If I use the gift of knowledge, I do it through a prophetic word. Well, I'm now employing two gifts at least, knowledge and prophecy. How that you take the gift of prophecy, you know, the gift of prophecy, and build it into a ministry in your life. You can take the gift of prophecy and build it into a ministry of prophecy, which is much better. But now I tell you how to do that and show you how to do it. Demonstrate. I'll demonstrate as I teach. We did this years ago, and we had the move of God people throughout this country that really observed move of God close. They didn't miss it far. I thought, and you know what? But I looked and I thought, well, boy, the sun's going to be translated here. We're ready. But we weren't. Now I look and I say, boy, are we ever going to be translated? We look further from ready than we have in the last 20 years. But, you know, the Lord told me, he said, I wish you'd quit trying to calculate the progress. I tell you again that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, when it's done, then you note the progress. Yes. But quit trying to gauge the progress, because I work when nobody can hinder. I'll do it my own way. And the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. So I quit trying to calculate. Goodness, as far as I'm concerned, translation could take place now. I wish it would. No, I really wish it would. Hallelujah. Get me. Because I've already got the promise that when it happens, I'm going to receive immunity from all the plagues. And there's a lot of them out there. And that nothing can hurt me after that. I walk over, under, or through it. But the Lord said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Lord spoke to me in May of 1985, I guess it was. Was it 85? Might have been 86. No, I think it was 85. Showed me some great things that was going to transpire, great catastrophic things in the world. And he said, when you see this happen, go immediately to your closet, prayer closet, and I'll meet you there. I'll give to you immunity from all the plagues and all the wrath that's being poured out upon the world. You can walk through it, over it, under it, but nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then you know what he said? He said, this will be the translation. This will be the first resurrection. Hallelujah. And they that have part in the first resurrection over such, the second death hath no power. No power. But we need to perfect ourselves in all of these areas. Now, if he runs lawfully, he wins. There's an interesting study here in, and I'm going to have to wind down here, I know, but let me show you this. There's an interesting study in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew, and verse 31, the Son comes in His glory, and with all His holy angels, and He gathers all nations before Him in verse 32, and He separates them one from the from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then He'll say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave you a drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and clothed you? Or when we see you sick, in prison, come? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Oh yes, my brethren. Who are his brethren? Well, his brethren is in Romans 8, as many as are conformed unto his likeness are his brethren. He was informed that his mother and brethren stood outside, and he said, well, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Them that doeth the will of God. All right? And then he says to the one on the left, which is the goats, he makes him depart into everlasting punishment. Now, what is interesting here is, there are a couple of things that's real interesting in this story. The number one is that here is a people that has pleased God without trying to. When he commends them rewards them, they don't know what it's for. And just for doing what they did naturally, they're building a place in the kingdom. They just got up every morning and did what they normally did, and it pleased God. And when he commended them, they said, well, we don't remember doing any of these things. How about that? That's your change of nature. Their nature was so changed that they pleased God without having to always remind themselves, I can't do this, I'm a Christian. You know? You ever have to remind yourself, no, I can't do this, I'm a Christian. No, I don't do that, I know I'm a Christian. I just do what's natural for that Christian. And I don't remind myself. If anybody else reminds me, you know, if anybody else thinks that I've done something offensive and reminds me, I won't do that anymore. If it offends them, I won't do it while they're around, if it offends them. But it may be something that's not really offensive, except, you know, that we got a lot of hang-ups. Things offend us that there's no scripture, no reason for it to offend us, except that we're just that immature. All right? Another thing that is remarkable about this is that the goats are on the left, the sheep are on the right. But in the beginning, they started equal. When the command was given to catch a sheep, a lamb of a year, and to offer his blood over the door so the death angel would pass over, the orders were that you can take it from the goats or the sheep. Wouldn't make any difference. They started out equal. You get over to Leviticus, and in the dietary laws, they're still equal. Somewhere between Leviticus and Matthew 25, there has been a change. They're no longer equal. Now, the question is, why are they no longer equal? Why are the sheep favored now and the goats are in disfavor? The reason is because of their nature. A sheep will follow. And a goat, you can't do nothing with a goat. I raised goats one time. We raised them for several years. You can't build a fence that'll hold him. He butts everything he sees, including you. He's destructive. But a little old lamb, he don't bother nothing. He has no way to defend himself, can't bother anything. He has no sense of direction. We're likened unto him. Now, so somewhere between Leviticus and here, their nature began to direct them. And the sheep had a nature that's like the nature of our Lord. And so this group pleased God without just trying. I've seen people that were so careful, but you know, they have always go down with them, and a dozen times they tell you, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. You know, well, I never told them a time I couldn't do it because I was a Christian, but I never had any intentions of doing it, but I wasn't going to make a point of it or out of it or make an issue out of it. Just simply doing the will of God and walking with him. It is not he that commendeth himself that is commended. It is he whom God commends. Paul said, I don't know of anything that's wrong with me, he says. But then I'm not the final judge, he says. I'm not aware of anything, but it'll be him that will judge that. And I'll stand or fall because of his judgment. So, he says, if you were an athlete, then you come to the husbandman. I'm not going to get through with all this, but you can do it in your own study. Husbandman is a farmer. And farming has to do with sowing and reaping. So if you don't sow anything, you ain't going to reap nothing. There is a religious, it sounds religious to say give expecting nothing in return. Now that sounds real religious, but that's not divine giving. Divine order is to give expecting something in return. God gave his own son, but he expected something in return. When God gives, he expects something in return. He expects us to, when we give, to expect something in return. Now, if you came by my house and I was out planting a patch of watermelons, and you walked out in there, what are you doing, Brother Joe? I'm planting some watermelons. You are? Boy, how big will they get? Oh, I'm not expecting nothing to happen here. I don't think they'll even come up. And if they do, the nut grass will take them. I'm not expecting nothing. Well, wouldn't you think I was a dumb farmer, wouldn't you? But you say, well, and so if you sow, you know all of the television evangelists has got this seed. What is it? Seed? Seed faith. Well, that seed faith was born in the mind used to be a friend of mine, Gene Ewing. He lives down in California now, and he makes all of them. He does all of those publicity things for all of them. Their visions, most of their visions is his genius. I mean, I just tell it like it is and stand behind what I say. I mean, I know that to be a fact. And you let one of them television, you let one of them come up with a new idea and see how long it'll be before all of them will have that same idea. Maybe change just a little bit. Where it's, you know, but you can identify it easy enough. Yeah. That's not, you know what that does? That makes it hard on us honest boys. I don't want to be boastful, but you know, I think I would have been an honest man if I never had known the Lord. I really think I would have walked by high principles and been honest. As a matter of fact, I did. You know, a fellow don't live in the same place 60 years in a town of about 1,100 population. Hallelujah. Amen. One time you throw the ball over the fence, you're out. Yeah. Now, you can go to Tulsa and throw it over the fence in the 53rd block and move back to the 49th block and start over. But at Beckville, ain't that many blocks. I just get one out. There's two strikes against me when I stood up. I got to hit it every time. Yeah. Keep you on your toes. I guess that's why the Lord just left me there. He knew if I got good work at hide in the multitudes. That's the way they do. Got them hiding in mass multitudes. And we don't want to get involved in anything. I was telling about not wanting to get involved in all the bad things that's happening. People don't want to get involved. Of course, you get tied up in courts. It is aggravating, but whatever it takes to just walk by somebody, just beating somebody to death and not do nothing about it, I hadn't got that. It was not too long ago, then several years back it has been too, that we, my wife and another couple was with us. We drove up to this place, and there was a fella out there, and it was looked like about a 16-year-old girl. And he was beating her unmerciful. And so he knocked her down. She got up and run. It was all in the light out there on the parking lot, you know. And he caught her and knocked her down again. She got up and run. She was trying to get some distance. And he caught her and knocked her down again. So I was getting out of the car, and I said to the... it was a drive-in thing. I said, has anybody called the police? And the fellow said, no. I said, well, call him. I'll talk to him when he gets here. You know, can you imagine that? They hadn't even called the police. And so I told my wife, I said, in the meantime, I'll go out here and I'll stop it till the police get there. So I went out there when I walked up there, just about time I caught up with him, well, he knocked her down again. And she got up and run. She was starting to go away, and I said, don't run that way, little lady. Run toward me. Get behind me. And he run, but he stopped out there a few steps. And I said to her, I didn't look at her. I said, you see that red and white Cadillac up there? She said, yes, sir. I said, my wife's in there and another couple. You go to that car, and I'll take care of this. And they'll take it. They'll see you home. Whatever you need, they'll see that you get it. You just go there.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
And my wife's in there and another couple. You go to that car, and I'll take care of this. And they'll take it. They'll see you home. Whatever you need, they'll see that you get it. You just go there. I'll keep him off of you while you go. So he told me, he said, you know, he stopped and he looking me over trying to decide whether to charge or not. And I just standing my ground. And he said, I ain't as scared of you either. And I said, well, ain't no use in me and you standing here assuring each other of our courage, because you can just think for yourself. If I was scared of you, I'd be sitting up yonder in that red and white Cadillac. Now, whenever you get ready, you just come on, and we'll get this over with hurriedly. I got the police coming, but we can load you prone as well as we can the other way. It don't matter to me. If you charge me, I'm going to hit you hard. Now, I didn't have time to remind myself I couldn't do that being a Christian. He looked me over. He was still looking me over, but they pulled in there pretty fast. I don't know. I think, though, his nerve was giving way on him. He was about to back off. I think he had thought about what I told him. See, you could know for sure. If I'm scared, I ain't going to be down here 100 yards from that car. I just volunteered and come down here. That proves that I'm not too weakling about it. I didn't care to get involved. Yeah, you know what we did? The police hauled him off to jail, and the little girl had gone on up to my car, so I went up there and said, what's your name, dear? And she told me her name. Said, what's your daddy's name? She told me. I said, where you live? She said, it's about 6 miles out here. I said, get in. I'll take you home. And I'm going to wake up your daddy and tell him what happened. And I did. And we're friends, you know, now. Didn't know him at that time. Somebody got to get involved. He'd have beat that little girl to death. Right after on that parking lot and walked off, and they never would even call the police. Because right across from there, and you heard about it, Kilgore's where it was at. You heard about them killing them, all them people in that Kentucky Fried Chicken deal, 5 of them. They never caught nobody yet. That's been, I don't know how long ago, 4 or 5 years, hadn't it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We have to get involved in some things. You know, I don't believe that God intends us to... I believe it wouldn't have been pleasing to God, me just standing there and let that guy beat that girl to death when I, you know, I had all this judo combat training and I could have took him apart in a minute or less time than that. You know, I wasn't the least bit afraid of him. That's been 10 years ago. I'm in good shape. I wouldn't, but of course, now it wouldn't bother me either. Under the same circumstances, I'd do it again. I don't care. I go to court. I don't care to get involved. My God, are we just going to let the society go to roaring around us? And if it gets away with that, the next one will be your wife, your daughter. Anyhow, it could have been my daughter. If it had been my daughter and 15 men sat around there and watched somebody beat her to death, you know, I'd thank all of them. I sure would. A husbandman is a farmer. Now, we talk about seed faith. Let me tell you this story, and I'm going to close. We farmed at our old home place, and back behind the house about, it's nearly a mile back there, there was hill. Well, it was a gentle rise, and it rose up to a hill, and our cotton field was beyond that. We'd plant 100 acres of cotton back there in the field. We couldn't see it from the house. But coming from that field, if you walked in at in the evening when sun sank in real low, when you come over that hill, I could see my head climbing the wall of the house yonder a mile away. You know, my shadow went all the way down through that valley and up that thing. And I think, boy, I hope that this was the kind of terrain where Peter walked down through the mist there and everybody, his shadow fell on. It healed him. Boy, he had a long shadow and a lot of healing. Well, we'd lay that cotton crop by. You know what you mean, laying the cotton crop by? You quit working it and wait for it to open up. So then we'd lay it by about in July. And along about 1st of October, we'd load up the wagons with cotton sacks. As you gathered it with cotton sacks in, get, go to town and get cotton pickers, folks. And I maybe hadn't been back over there since I laid it by. But, you know, we'd planted it and it was doing good, so... We knew it'd be open, but now we'd go over and we'd start picking it. Well, that was the last time I did that was about 15 years ago, I guess. And since then, I didn't plant any cotton. But for years, every October, I'd load up wagons and then trucks, finally trucks, and ride over that hill to have that cotton batch greet me. And that's where, you know, that's where most of our money come from is out there. Well, I said that to say this, that I'd be a fool to go load up them trucks now and get them cotton pickers and drive over that hill, because I hadn't sowed nothing over there in about 15 years, so there ain't going to be nothing over there to pick. You get the principle?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you would. I was almost sure you would. Well, praise the Lord. Well, if you don't sow, nothing to reap. You have to plant. That seed faith is a good thing. I mean, I don't belittle it. Seed faith. Put some seed in the ground. Invest something, and it'll come back. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give to your bosoms. Hallelujah. You know, you can pick peas and put them in a bushel. I can give you a bushel of peas and you won't have a peck of peas when you get home. And you'll have a bushel just plumb full. You know, just throw them in there crisscross. But if you put them together and press them down, you have real bushel peas when you get home. That's the way the Lord gives. He gives us good measure, doesn't he? He just giveth and giveth and keeps on giving. Hallelujah. Yes, we're unworthy. Husbandman? Well, if I had time to don't, we'd talk about a workman. Yeah? Then we'd talk about, what else would we talk about? Workman? Servant, yeah. Oh, but this vessel and servant, we missed the best ones. You'll have to do it yourself. Praise the Lord. This is the best one. The servant is probably the best. When you get to here, all right? Let me say this in closing, that when you come through all of this, if you do it like I would have told you to do it, if I had time, when you get to the end of it, you will have found the Christ that washes his disciples' feet. Hallelujah.
This will bring you to the Christ that washes the disciples' feet. The religion of the Pharisees could never bring them to the Christ that washes his disciples' feet. Modern religion and religiosity and the religious world will never find the Lord that washes his disciples' feet. But if you come this way, you will meet him who washes his disciples' feet. Praise the Lord. And once you meet the man of Galilee that washes his disciples' feet, you will never again be the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And inasmuch as I have done this to you, you ought to do it to one another. Hallelujah. Well, we'd be having foot washing Thursday night. We always have one. Praise the Lord. blessed be God. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Lift your hands with me. Oh, Father now. My Lord and our God, I pray for this people, Lord. I pray for this camp, Lord. Oh, God, may the angels of mercy camp round about to secure, Lord. Oh, God, and every problem will be dissolved, oh, Lord. My Lord, and for time to come, ever how long you would desire that to be, that there will be an open door here where deliverance can be practiced, Heavenly Father. My Lord, where the kingdom of God can be published and practiced, O Lord. Where a full gospel, O Lord, can be preached. My Lord and our God. And oh, where men and women, boys and girls can come from all quarters and from every walk of life and be blessed in the realm that they're in and be lifted into a higher realm, O Lord. Oh, great God, I pray that the supply barrels will never run out. My Lord, and when I say supply barrels, Lord, you understand what I'm saying. My Lord, that there will always be plenty. There will never be a lacking among us. Oh, for the Lord our God shall surely look over us and look after us. Hallelujah. And he shall surely secure us in a lofty place. For know that even now, the Lord hath dispatched angels to this locale. Yea, even among you now there are ministering spirits, because you are heirs to his salvation. Yea, you are being ministered to even at this moment by the angelic host. Yea, think it not a strange thing that this would happen, for it happens often in the land of the living. For you are my chosen people, and I will do chosen things for you, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, nothing shall be too lofty, nothing shall be too good. I will not withhold, saith the Lord thou God, but I will lavish on ye. Yea, I will bestow to thee. Yea, I will invest in thee, saith the Lord thou God. For you are my people, yea, and I'm not ashamed to call you my people. Ah, and you shall not be ashamed to call me thy father, Abba Father, shall you speak, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for you are sons of God. Yea, in the state of being matured, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, don't falter, for I won't leave you along the wayside. I will go with you. Yea, and when thou passest through the waters, they shall not overwhelm thee. Yea, when thou goest through the waters, they shall not smother thee. When thou passest through the fires, it shall not burn thee, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Because I will be with you, and I will go before thee, saith the Lord. I will make the crooked places straight. Yea, I'll make the high places low, and you can follow me, yea, for I shall make a very plain track, and a very plain path will I lead thee in, saith the Lord. Yea, know that I only lead those that are mine, saith the Lord thou God. Therefore surrender your heart and your all to me, and I shall surely lead thee. Yea, I shall make your feet like hinds' feet, and ye shall not fail, ye shall not fall. Nay, and finally you shall not even falter, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I shall build into thee a stability that the world has not seen in a big group of people, saith the Lord thou God. I shall build into you a stability that you have not found within yourself, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, count your heredity from me, saith the Lord on. Yea, and you will have better personality. You will have higher principles. You'll have better health. You'll have more joy. For it is the joy of the Lord that is your strength, saith God. Yea, feast on the joy of the Lord, for it does not fluctuate. Your joy is human joy, and it fluctuates. Ah, it is directed by circumstances, but my joy is perpetual, and it is my joy that makes you strong, saith the Lord thou God. Feast on my wisdom. Yea, tap in to the land of no limitations, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, have you not been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire? Have you not received the baptism of the Spirit? Do you not have the earnest of your inheritance? Yea, therefore arise and pull up your stakes and lengthen your chains. Stretch your tent. Ah, yea, for the Lord thou God bringeth enlargement to you. He shall not delay. Yeah, the Lord now God shall touch you where it counts. Hallelujah. Amen. Even now, the healing virtue of Jesus is flowing freely through the body of Christ. Flow freely through the body of Christ, O healing virtue of Jesus, my Lord and our God. And as you flow down aisle to aisle, don't pass me by, Lord. Ah, yes. While on others you're calling, and while on others you're falling, don't pass me by, Lord. Fall on me too, O Lord. The blessings of the Lord be on you, my son. Ah, the Lord hath seen the hungering in your heart. Yea, and the Lord says it's a good thing that thou hast hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Now shall the filling come, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, walk in the life of God, and ye shall have a happy existence. Ye shall have a happy journey, saith the Lord thou God. Keep your mind stayed upon me. Yea, and you shall never be afraid. Nay, neither shall you come to shame, because I, the Lord thou God, shall sustain thee in all thy ways, saith God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord forever. Praise the Lord forever. Praise the Lord forever. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, great God. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Father and our God. Blessed God. Now I pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. Now I ask you to seal every word that will be profitable to this people as they pursue toward the kingdom. If I have said, seal every word that's profitable. If I have said anything in folly, anything that would be unprofitable to the kingdom, and to them in their pursuit of the kingdom, I pray that they'd forget it before they get out of the tabernacle. But for all that will profit them, that will profit us, I seal it to your spirit forever. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to the Lord. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. Oh, blessed be God forever. Thank the good Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Get a word for Brother Gene and Earlene here. Thank the Lord. Ah, yes. The Lord has directed my attention to you. Be not weary in well-doing. Ah, for there is a reaping time that is coming. Yea, and a great harvest will be the reaping. For I shall not give to thee sparingly, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, for I have examined the motivations of your heart. Yea, I have examined you very closely, looked into the darkest crevices of your thinking, and I see a pureness, yea, that is not seen in many, saith the Lord thou God. Therefore have I called thee unto me, yea, and thou shalt have ministry unto many. Yea, thou shalt take the pen and make ministry, saith the Lord thou God. Scribes shall you be, yea, and teachers shall you be, saith the Lord. Yea, and your teachings shall go forth into many homes, yea, many that you will not know about. Yea, but rest assured that even as you sleep, you are ministering somewhere. Yea, for tapes shall go into lands where when it is daylight here, it is night there. And when you are sleeping, it is time for them to listen. So you minister around the clock, as it were, saith the Lord thou God. And you minister unto the blessings of the Lord, because thou hast not tried to build for thyself. Yea, thou hast not tried to build thyself up. Yea, the Lord sees the humbleness with which you walk, saith the Lord. He sees the love and respect that you walk in toward each other and toward God. And he knoweth your heart. He knoweth that it is God is the focal point of your love. Yea, and he knows that you love each other in him. And I say unto you, upon the authority of the Rhema word of God, that you will never meet for the last time. The two of you, saith the Lord. Yea, for the Lord thou God, amen, shall preserve thee. Yea, for there is much more to be done yet, saith the Lord. But you will be diligent, yea. Yea, and thou shalt work with, and as you already, I'm aware that you already are working with private cases, and you have schedules and so, and this is going to get heavier. It's going to get heavier, but the Lord knoweth your heart, and when you get down into your general geographical locale, there's not too many places available for the kind of help that you can minister, saith the Lord thou God. But the Lord thou God will do something about this, and an increase shall begin. Yea, and the increase shall come as it began. Some of the increase will come from some of your, if I may use the word, student, client, whatever. But an increase. You're going to minister to somebody and bring deliverance to them, and it's going to set their spirit on fire. You're going to deep's going to call to deep, way down deep. And they're going to get this thing so good that they're going to, they'd be over on the other side down helping you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And then as you raise up people like this, they minister in this order, and they'll bring the hard cases to you until they have matured to that. I think it would be good. I feel now, by permission, I feel that it'd be good if you work toward that, and tell them, you know, once you start your own ministry, you could help a lot of people. You get some hard cases, we'll help you with it. So that's the way Moses did the 70 elders. You know, you take care of the small things. Anything too big for you, bring it to me. Hallelujah. He knew what to do with it, didn't he? Yeah. I love this ministry. And I love Brother Glenn and Irma's ministry. Their ministry is almost the same to me. They have a beautiful ministry, and they are ordained to work together too. I am aware of that they are ordained to work together and counsel often, touch bases. You know, Paul came up to the disciples, to the apostles at Jerusalem, Antioch it was. Jerusalem it was at that time, and laid out the message he was preaching to them. He wanted to see, and he said, lest he had run in vain, he was willing to let them judge his ministry and take, they walk with Jesus. He didn't walk with him. He got it direct by revelation. You can get it clearer that way. Hallelujah.
when Paul's going to tell them about the Lord's Supper, he said, I give unto you as the Lord gave it unto me. He didn't say, see, Peter could have told him. He knew Peter well enough. He told him about that last night. But every time Peter tried to tell it, he got emotional. He was there. He seen all the looks and all the emotional display. John couldn't tell it good because he was too involved. Paul, the Holy Ghost, just got him off and told him how it was. And he said, he's the only one that told us many sick and afflicted among you because you don't discern the Lord's body. John couldn't tell us that. He was too involved in the actual events. Every time he thought about it, he couldn't think about nothing. Boy, I laid my head back on his breast. How my heart burned within me. Hallelujah. Peter couldn't think of nothing, but boy, he dropped a bombshell right there and said, one of us is going to betray you. And it scared me to death. And Paul said, there are many of you sick and afflicted because you don't discern the Lord's body. Now, you know what that means? That means that the authority for healing is in this local body. This body that's here this morning forms a local body right now. But you go back to your places and wherever you go, that'll be a local body too. But in this local body, there's healing. And if you can discern that, you can take advantage of it. But if you don't discern it, you won't get the effect of it. And the end results will be, praise the Lord. May the Lord smile on your ministry, and may you, if things continue as they are, or whichever way they go, may you continue many years in ministry. You'll be a blessing to many. Already, you have blessed people that you'll never see in this world. Now, Gene gave me one of his big books and said he did it kindly reluctantly. I learned a lot from it. I read it. Oh, I've read it two or three times. I have had it loaned out ever since. Anybody comes with something, I said, I've got a book you need. Just take it and keep it as long as you want to. And just bring it back to me. I want it back, but you take it, and everybody has been helped. And one person that I'm thinking of in particular just really, really got her life changed by taking that book and reading it. And now I told you about the tape that I'm going to give one of them to every high school kid at Bankville. That's about 400 in high school. Yeah. They'll take them home, and in their closet, they'll listen to them. They wouldn't listen to it in a crowd, but they'll take them home and listen to them. They don't know what I'm pulling on them, see? They think, yeah. And they'll hear that, and it'll have to make an impact, because that's good. Good, very informative. I appreciate your ministry. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Unreal. Praise the Lord. No, I could prophesy to everybody in the house if I had time. I got a lot of good things to say to you, but I know we were running too far over into the border in the next service, so I'll just quit right here and we'll call it even. How's that?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.